Omnath, Windgrace, Tatiova, some of the most infamous commanders in the format have one thing in common. These commanders all make use of landfall strategies to fuel their engines. And quite honestly, landfall decks can feel really oppressive to play against. I mean, how can you stop the raw value? You go ahead, you destroy their commander, but they just played three more lands and now their commander is back with mana to spare and... How can you attack a landfall deck? Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we're going to tackle the strategy of landfall. We're going to dissect this strategy, identifying the categories of cards that landfall decks rely on. And we're going to do this so we can better understand how to pilot such a deck and how to attack it if we see it across the table. Let's get started by defining landfall. Landfall is an ability word, which indicates that something will happen when a land enters the battlefield. What happens varies from card to card. Some landfall creatures may get bigger till end of turn, while others will give you mana, and still others will make tokens. And landfall cards aren't the only ones which care about lands entering play. There are a number of other cards which are basically landfall, but they don't actually have the ability word printed on the card, such as Tireless Tracker and Zendikar's Royal. The latter of which actually did get reprinted with the ability word landfall printed on it, just as an FYI. A landfall strategy within a deck is going to attempt to assemble several different types of cards, and thus they tend towards the more synergistic deck alignment than Battlecruiser. This is something we need to break down a bit more, since at first blush, the majority of landfall decks are going to win by overwhelming opponents with creature tokens or with big beaters, which form the backbone of the majority of landfall payoffs. But landfall triggers off of a freebie. Players can play land each of their turns as a special game action, which only costs them a card from their hand, and playing a land for the turn does not use the stack. Landfall is also conceptually low tension in deck building. Most decks want to have some form of ramp, and land-based ramp tends to be a very safe way to accrue mana in Commander, particularly since the social contract tends to discourage interacting with opponents' lands. It's basically, if you're going to play lands and mana ramp anyway, why not get paid off for it? Lands being protected in Commander, both by the rules in preventing interaction on the stack with them, and by the social contract limiting options for players to punish a land-based ramp strategy, means that landfall is relatively safe from interaction and relatively low tension in deck building. I can't hold up a counterspell to stop you from playing a forest for turn. And I can't respond to you playing a forest by targeting your Tireless Tracker while the forest is quote-unquote on the stack, because playing a land doesn't use the stack. In this way, landfall is even easier to trigger than most ETB effects, because opponents do not get a chance to remove the permanent with the trigger until the land has already entered the battlefield and already triggered the landfall. Yes, you can remove my Tireless Tracker in response to the trigger, but I will still get the clue, even if the tracker is already gone by the time everything resolves. So landfall is a very safe payoff, because you probably get a payoff, and even if you don't, you're still holding up a land, and you're still able to play more spells afterwards, because you've gone up on mana. And actually, we should probably talk about payoffs next. A payoff is a concept you start to see as you move from Battlecruiser to synergistic commander alignments. You made concessions in the construction of your deck, and your deck has cards which reward you for those deck-building concessions. An elf tribal deck being rewarded for running mana dork elves, and cards like Reclamation Sage instead of the usual Cultivate or Naturalize. These concessions that you make in your deck are your enablers, the cards that are really good in this particular deck, because they make your payoffs better. In our Elf Tribal example, Reclamation Sage is an enabler, and Priest of Titania is the payoff. We make the concession of having a slower, sorcery speed form of interaction with artifacts and enchantments, and it enables our Priest of Titania to pay us off later by tapping for more mana once we get Reclamation Sage into play. I mentioned before that landfall strategies were generally low tension, and in our previous episode about tension and deck building, we actually mentioned Tatiova as a low tension commander, and that should become apparent as we start talking about the enabler cards for landfall strategies. The most basic enabler for landfall is really simple. Play a land card, from your hand, get a thing. Nice, simple, and easy to understand. Outside of CEDH, at least one third of your deck is probably already going to be land cards, a low concession to get those basic enablers into your deck. Each time you move a land card from your hand or another zone onto the battlefield, you trigger your landfall payoffs. And the easiest way to get lands out of your library and into play? Well, looking at EDHREC.com, six of the top 10 most played sorceries are green land ramp spells. And if you look a little bit closer, four out of the top five are mono green ramp as well, FYI. Again, low tension enablers. Moving beyond the basics though, particularly when we start looking at high color identity decks, we then start to look at the fetch lands. And these are one of the reasons why landfall decks have gained a reputation as being pay to win. Let's look at Wooded Foothills, a fetch land which you can use to get either a forest or a mountain from your library directly into play. Excluding anything else, Wooded Foothills doubles your landfall for that turn. You play Wooded Foothills, landfall number one, with your land drop. Then you crack it to go get your forest, landfall number two, you have doubled your landfall triggers. Now, imagine that our Gruul deck is also playing all of the off-color fletches that can grab either forests or mountains. Those are seven lands which effectively double our landfall on a given turn. Outside of the ordinary casual alignment all-stars of green ramp, fetch lands are a very big enabler with a very minor concession to include in your deck, apart from, you know, the actual money cost. The next step in tuning up our landfall deck is going to be increase our number of land drops for turn. Exploration, for example, is a 1-mana enchantment for a single green which allows you to play an additional land on each of your turns. Now you get 2 chances to hit landfall each turn. Azusa, Lost But Seeking, is a 3-mana value green creature who allows us to play 2 additional lands on each turn. And it is in this category of cards, the extra land drop cards, which reveals the hidden enabler to landfall decks. Landfall decks need regular access to play more lands. They have to draw more cards or get more access to lands somehow. Once you've exhausted all your ramp spells, you're depending on drawing more lands naturally and playing and hitting those landfall triggers essentially off of the top deck. Landfall decks tend to accomplish this and fill the role of this enabler by either running some powerful card draw or accessing lands from the graveyard. Cards like Crucible of Worlds, Ramunap Excavator, and Life from the Loam form a trifecta of potent cards which can provide a nearly unlimited source of landfall triggers, particularly when combined with fetchlands. This confluence of fetchlands with graveyard getter backers forms the engine which high-power landfall decks tend to use. We also often see the play lands from the top of your library cards like Oracle of Moldaya, which is its own enabler by giving you an extra land drop and letting you play lands off the top of your library, essentially spotting you that peek off the top deck to see if you would hit another land. Now that we have a rough idea of what cards a landfall deck may use as enablers, it's time to look at the payoffs, and these tend to be where different landfall decks are going to differentiate from one another, as each of the five colors has its own attractive cards to act as payoffs. The phrase to look for on Scryfall is, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control. This will get you the cards that have landfall printed on it, and the ones that were printed in other sets where landfall was not an ability word. Green payoffs for landfall will generally be rewarding you with creature tokens, like Zendikar's Royal, or making your creatures bigger, like Avenger of Zendikar. But we also see some powerful value from cards like Lotus Cobra, Tireless Tracker, and Tireless Provisioner. Now, green usually forms the backbone of landfall strategies, for the reasons we discussed a few moments ago when talking about the enablers, but these decks also traditionally have a strong red streak, owing back to the first proper landfall commander being Omnath, Locust of Rage, which put a powerful payoff in the command zone of play a land, get a 5/5 beater. Red also gives us access to payoffs like Nesting Dragon, which rewards us with more tokens, and Zendikar Rising, also gave us access to Valakut Exploration, a unique form of impulse draw, which can fuel additional landfalls later in the tame turn cycle, as well as Morang, who gives us extra combat steps to use all those tokens with. Players also had a chance to explore black landfall payoffs with cards like the Gitrog Monster, and while cards like Bloodghast may be iconic, those were more iconic for Aristocrats decks than they are in true landfall decks, where cards like Obnixilus the Fallen really show Black's penchant for draining opponents and buffing its own creatures off of landfall triggers. The next big jump in landfall came with the Commander 2017 decks, which included Lord Windgrace, a proper Jund landfall commander who acts as a powerful enabler for the strategy from the command zone, and a plethora of payoffs to choose from in three colors. Parallel to the evolution on the Jund side of the color pie, Simic has also been going hard on value. Royal Elemental is a powerful payoff who can get a landfall deck very quickly into a position where it controls all the best creatures on the board. And Hedron Crab can really enable landfall strategies that are leaning on Life from the Loam and Crucible of Worlds to get those extra land drops out of the graveyard. Dominaria even gave us a proper Simic commander in the form of Tatiova, Benthic Druid, who combines both a payoff and an enabler for Simic landfall decks in the command zone, as well as her heavyweight buddy, AC Tyrant of Gyre Strait, even if he does give you money for nothing. Hedron Crab, in particular, fueled self-mill strategies which also play into the Golgari part of the Sultai color identity, which can even more easily make use of the graveyard than pure Simic decks can. Once we add white into the mixture, we not only get some potent payoffs in the form of additional token producers like Emyria Angel and Feldar Retreat, but we also get some potent enablers, cards which can let us find specific lands we may need to get our game plan off the ground, as white gives us access to both Knight of the Reliquary as well as Weathered Wayfarer. Although the come from behind clause on the latter means that many landfall decks are going to have trouble taking advantage of Weathered Wayfarer for very long. The reason that having access to the best land in your deck is really good is not just getting multiple landfalls off of a fetch land, but getting you a card like Field of the Dead, which gives you a 2-2 zombie whenever you hit a landfall, barring a relatively easy setup cost of 7 differently named lands, well, that's a really powerful payoff. That is kind of the brief overview of the state of landfall, but let's get to the fun part. How do you actually beat a landfall deck? As we've already described, it can be difficult to interact when really much of what a landfall deck is doing is not happening on the stack. And many of the cards we may be running to interact in a more Battlecruiser game, those aren't going to do very much against the artifacts and enchantments and even lands that may be fueling the power of a landfall deck. So, the first step is to ask yourself where the choke point currently is on the landfall player's landfall triggers. Whenever possible, we probably want to default to removing their enablers, because many landfall payoffs are going to be much less powerful when they're only paying off landfall players once a turn instead of once or twice or 6 times a turn. That means countering their attempts to draw back up to 7 cards off of a wheel or another big draw spell. That also means taking out their Crucible of Worlds, Ramunap Excavator, or Life from the Loam if they're leaning into their graveyards. Life from the Loam deserves a special note here. It can be particularly difficult to answer, which is really why landfall as a strategy tends to be much closer to synergistic than it is to Battlecruiser in terms of deck alignment. If you have the ability to interact with the graveyard, you want to hold up that option until the person who is on Life from the Loam is trying to dredge it back out of the graveyard. Ideally, when they are tapped for mana and have no other really way to draw cards at instant speed, that is when you hit the button, activate your exile effect, and remove the card with the trigger on the stack. That way they can't easily get it back and you've gotten rid of it for good. Next along the line, you really only want to get rid of that extra land drop effect like Azusa if you don't have a good answer to their enabler that's further upstream, like Life from the Loam. Getting rid of Azusa will still limit them to only one land drop per turn, but getting rid of Life from the Loam means that their future turns will have many fewer land drops in hand, and it could potentially mean Azusa is not giving them any value at all. The last target to consider will be the landfall payoffs themselves, particularly when these payoffs are coming out of the command zone like Tatiova or like Omnath. The average landfall deck can often just naturally ramp hard enough to replay their commander multiple times and keep pace and still getting value off of their commander. It may be the right time to hit the payoff when the enabler is already a forgotten conclusion. If Scapeshift is already on the stack, you're better off just getting rid of Omnath before they can get 9 more 5/5 elementals. As I said though, the fact these decks naturally just ramp very hard means they can often just fall back on big, powerful spells as their payoffs. Just because Expropriate doesn't say landfall on it doesn't mean they aren't going for it when they cast that spell. And this is kind of why I would encourage players going against a landfall deck to hit those enablers first. Stop the landfall player from being able to ramp so far ahead. Not only have you weakened their landfall strategy in specific, you've also limited their access to additional mana on later turns. And that, my friends, is the 10,000-foot view of landfall, and we've barely scratched the surface on what this strategy can do. I mean, I had to completely cut the discussion about atypical landfall commanders like Korvald, the big bad dragon daddy himself, which I'm sure will make Alex very mad at me. But this episode is already, oh my god, 16 minutes long, and You know what? I'm going to have to leave it to you. I want to know how you go about taking down an opponent on a landfall strategy. Or let us know what your favorite landfall payoffs or enablers are. You can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe. You can also add us on Twitter, where we are Gemstone Mine MTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.